6. Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to draw your attention today to verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Hear now the word of God. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all, these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives by the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 starts with the word, therefore. Therefore. Here, Christ is making application to our lives of what he just taught us in the preceding verses. Because I just taught you certain things, therefore I'm going to apply those truths to your lives. Matthew chapter 6 started with the general principle in verse 1 that we are not to practice our righteous acts before men to be noticed by them. Rather, we are to be concerned only with pleasing our heavenly Father. And he stressed that again in verses 22 and 23 that we are to have a good eye, we're to have a single eye toward pleasing our Heavenly Father. What our Heavenly Father sees in secret is what counts. not what other human beings see. And Christ, three times in Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 18, says that our Heavenly Father see what he sees in secret, he will reward you. He emphasizes that in verse 4 and verse 6 and verse 18. So he's saying that there are heavenly rewards. There are heavenly rewards, and Christ is making that clear to us in verse 20. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Be living life with a single eye, a good eye, toward pleasing your Heavenly Father, that He would see. We're not concerned with what other human beings see. As we practice our righteous acts with a single eye toward pleasing our Heavenly Father only, serving Him and Him alone as our Master, as is reiterated in verse 24, then we'll be laying up our rewards from our Heavenly Father in heaven. So he says, therefore, in light of these truths, therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Please follow along with today's sermon using the outline that is in the bulletin. Point one, look at the whole of life. Look at the whole of life. Christ wants us to learn something from what is being taught and spoken in God's works of creation and providence. Learn something from it, he's saying. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Look at the whole of life. Worry is when we are anxious or troubled or distressed about earthly things. Worry is a symptom of deep spiritual sickness. Now, I have to humbly admit that worry is something I have at times struggled with in my life. And I'm not sure, and I would say that I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one that has at times struggled with worry. Christ includes it here. He's teaching the disciples. It's something I think that we all at times struggle with, being anxious or troubled or distressed about earthly things. Well, Jesus tells us to look at the whole of life. And there are several things in our text today that Christ wants us to think through. Christ wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He wants us to think. He wants our minds to be convinced of certain things, to understand certain things, certain truths of God and the way He acts. Christ wants us with our minds to look at the whole of life. So, dealing with the sin of worry, of being troubled or distressed or anxious about earthly things, it's a battle that takes place in our minds. It really is a battle that takes place in our minds. When you find yourself being troubled or distressed or anxious or worried about earthly things, whether it's, oh, I've got this speech I've got to do in my homework assignment. I've got this work assignment that's coming along. Or I've got health issues. How am I going to pay these bills? I've just lost, you know, a job issue. Or just whatever the case may be. We can be anxious and troubled and worried about earthly things. But it's a battle that takes place within our minds. Have you ever noticed that it can begin to dominate your thinking? As you begin to see everything in light of your anxiety and worry, then it begins to dominate your thinking. It's all you can think about. It's a battle that takes place in our minds. If we are troubled or distressed or anxious about what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear as clothing, it's not long before our whole life and happiness seem to depend then upon these earthly things. And then these basic servants, these earthly things, become our masters. They become our masters. And that's how verse 25 is related to verse 24. Where in verse 24 it said, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and earthly things. It's one or the other. It's an either or. But when we become anxious and worried and distressed about earthly things, about mammon, it starts to dominate our thinking. And it's not long before we become slaves of these earthly things. They become our masters. If we have practiced our righteous acts with a single eye to pleasing our Heavenly Father, then we are laying up for ourselves the rewards of our Heavenly Father as treasures in heaven. Right? I mentioned that. You see that in Matthew 6, verse 1, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18, and also in verses 22 and 23. Our Heavenly Father sees everything, and He knows where our hearts are because He knows where our treasure is. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We are under the watchful eye of our Heavenly Father. So Christ tells us to think about the whole of life for a minute. Look at verses 25 to 27. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? As Christians, we are to be heavenly minded. We should know that life is more than food and clothing, as verse 25 says. One who is earthly minded thinks about earthly things, as if that's all that life is about. But not us as Christians. Christ wants us to think, okay? He wants us to use our minds. He says, think about the birds of the air for a minute in verse 26. The little birds are not as valuable as human beings. We know that we read through Genesis 1, human beings are created in the image of God. Little birds aren't. The little birds have value. But we have more value. We're created in the image of God as human beings. But think about the little birds for a minute. They do not get worried or troubled about food. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Think about that a minute. Human beings around here in our community, they sow, they plant seed in the spring. We reap, we harvest crops in the fall. And then the food is stored in barns during the winter. But the little birds have none of these detailed plans and stages to try and get their own food. The little birds are not lazy. They still got to fly around and find food to eat. But the little birds are fed by your Heavenly Father. They are under the watchful eye of our Heavenly Father. As a human being created in the image of God, and it's wrong to think in the Sermon on the Mount that this is written for everyone. As we've said, Christ sat down to teach the disciples. The disciples. This is for Christians. And it is true to say that as human beings created in the image of God, we're of more value than a little bird. True. But what's even more precious, what makes us even more valuable, much more valuable than a little bird, is we're adopted as God's child in Christ. He, our Heavenly Father, is now our Heavenly Father. We're adopted. We're a son of God. So you are worth much more than the little birds as an adopted child of God in Jesus Christ. If your Heavenly Father then feeds the little birds who are worth less than you, then certainly your Heavenly Father will daily feed you with the food that you need as an adopted son. It is an argument, a rational argument, from the lesser to the greater. In love and in care, he takes care of the little birds. They're not worth as much as you are in his sight. You're an adopted child of God. Certainly he will take care of you if he takes the love and care of the little birds. See? We're to learn these truths looking out at the world in God's providence. Night to night brings forth speech. Day to day reveals knowledge. It speaks to us. God is giving us general revelation of who he is in his providence, in preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions when he takes care of the little birds, and we see that around us. We're to say, you know what? I am an adopted child of God. I know then that he will have love and care for me, because he takes the time to have love and care for the little birds, and they're worth a lot less than me. Now, the cherry on top of Christ's argument here against worry is in verse 27. Look at verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? One cubit is about 18 inches. Stature refers to our height, how tall we are. So Christ is saying, which of you can add 18 inches to his or her height by worrying? Obviously, the argument is that there is no benefit to being worried or troubled or anxious about what we will eat or what we will drink. Worrying does not add 1 hour to your life or 1 inch to your height. Worrying does not make you taller. Worrying provides no benefit to you. And that's what we're to understand with our minds. And when we begin to get troubled or distressed or worried about earthly things, we're to say, this is no benefit to me. None. Not to think about it and dwell on it provides no benefit, period. We must get transformed by the renewing of our minds and think about that the next time we're tempted to worry. So, we must be convinced in our minds that our life consists of more than earthly things. Because we are pilgrims here going to our heavenly home. We must be convinced in our minds that we are of more value as an adopted son of God. We are of more value than a little bird. And certainly we observe our Heavenly Father lovingly take care of little birds, and certainly then he will take care of our daily needs. We must be convinced in our minds that worrying provides no benefit to us. None. Christ's argument continues. Look at verses 28 to 30. So why do you worry then about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Here we are to think through the issue of clothing. Look at the lilies of the field. These are beautiful flowers. Pastor Ron and Nancy have many beautiful daylilies planted in their yard around their home. If you've ever seen them, they're beautiful flowers, these daylilies. The color, the contrast, the texture of these daylilies are magnificent. Here Christ wants us again to think a minute, to use your minds. As the birds do not have to sow or reap or gather into barns for food, your heavenly Father simply feeds them. The lilies, likewise, these flowers do not toil nor spin nor knit and assemble their beautiful clothing. Verse 28. The lilies of the field simply grow with beautiful designs that your heavenly Father provides them. And not only that, the beauty and the splendor that your heavenly Father provides these beautiful flowers is even more glorious than Solomon was dressed at the height of his power. Verse 29. So if your heavenly Father takes such care to clothe these beautiful daylilies that are here today and gone tomorrow, certainly your heavenly Father will clothe you with what you need. That's verse 30. It's an argument again from the lesser to the greater. As Christians, in fighting against the sin of worry, our minds must use these arguments. Okay? That is what Christ is telling us. Understand these arguments. Repeat them to yourselves regularly when you're tempted to worry. If God, our Heavenly Father, provides with a tender, fatherly-like care for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how much more will He provide for His children, which He purchased at the infinite cost of the death of His only begotten Son? Isn't that the argument made by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 32? Where it says, He, God, the Father, who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him then also freely give us all things? There it's kind of an argument in the reverse of the greatest to the lesser. He's given us the greatest thing ever, His only begotten Son. Certainly anything less is included. Christ is teaching us here in the Sermon on the Mount, really, that as we look at God's actions with regard to the little birds and the lilies of the fields, it's really a promise of God our Father to you and I. It's a promise being made to us that He will take care of us. And you and I must respond with faith in God's promise. We stand on the promises of God. How? By faith. By faith, the spiritual sight, we look to the promises of God. We must believe. Look at the end of verse 30. Did you see that at the end of verse 30? That's why Christ ends verse 30 with, O you of little faith. O you of little faith. We must believe, we must have faith that God, our Heavenly Father, will provide all that we need for daily food and clothing. We must believe it. Do you trust it? Do you have faith in God's promise? Grounded in His works of providence and taking care of the little birds and the lilies of the field. Obviously, Christ has given us many reasons that support and undergird our faith in our Heavenly Father to meet our daily needs. Let our minds be fully convinced that we, as God's adopted children in Christ, are more valuable than birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And our Heavenly Father takes care of them. Certainly, He will take care of us. That's His promise to us. We must trust Him. We must have faith in Him. Do not worry or be anxious or troubled or distressed about your daily needs. In other words, Christ is telling us to look at the nature of life. Look at the nature of life. Point two. Christ wants us to see that our Heavenly Father is committed to meeting our daily needs. Christ wants us to think about the nature of the Christian's life. He's essentially saying to us, your life is in the hands of your Heavenly Father. He has designed it. He knows the end of it from the beginning of it. He plans each step of the way to fulfill His purpose to you and through you. You will have all that you need to fulfill that purpose. And when that purpose is finally accomplished, you will be taken home to be with Him. Why worry when He has your life in His hands? Your worry is a sign that you do not adequately know Him, that you do not trust Him, or have not patiently submitted to His decreed of will as you ought. It is only when we want to take our lives out of our Father's hands and have them under our own control that we end up being gripped with worry and anxiety. The secret of getting freedom from anxiety and worry is really the abandonment of our own plans. To say, not my will be done, but your will be done, my Heavenly Father. Not my will be done, but your will be done. That's how Christ taught us to pray in verse 10. And that spirit emerges in our lives only when our minds are filled with the knowledge that our Heavenly Father can be trusted to supply everything we need in life. And He's promised that He will. The Apostle Paul stated it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Our faith in His fatherly care is particularly tested when going through trials, when going through adversity. And that's why this life right now is really a Christian going through a land of wilderness on the way to the promised land, heaven. We have been redeemed from slavery to sin, and we are now traveling through, being led by God through the wilderness in this world to our heavenly home. And you think what Moses had to say in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 16. Why did God lead them through the wilderness? Why didn't He just immediately take them to the land of Canaan? They could have been there within a day or two. To humble them and test them. To humble them and test them. To do good to them in the end. Because every one of us right now is being humbled and tested by our Heavenly Father. Will we trust Him to meet our daily needs? Will we be content with the manna that He sends? Well, we trust that He's in control of all things. It is particularly in adversity and trials when it is really our faith is tested and tried. During frowning providence, we are tempted to complain of God, and we're tempted to worry. And our battle against worry is a battle of faith. It's a battle of faith. Well, we trust in our Heavenly Father to meet our daily needs in His way and in His time. But central in the nature of life, in what Christ is teaching us, is that our Heavenly Father is sovereign. He rules and reigns, down to feeding the little birds and clothing flowers in the field. He is sovereign and in control of all things. That is the nature of life. And it doesn't matter if we're in a wilderness going through testing. God is in control. It's a central feature of the Scripture. Think of Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Or Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. God works all things after the counsel of His will. The whole of the Sermon on the Mount depends on the fact that God, our Heavenly Father, rules and reigns over everything. His ways are perfect, and His purposes will be brought to pass. That is central in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, the sovereign rule of God, our Heavenly Father, is at the core of the teaching in our text today. Our Father feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the lilies of the fields down to the smallest details. Have you looked at what birds eat? I have a bird feeder at home. I put little thistle seeds in there. You can hardly see them. I practically need my reading glasses on to see them right now. My eyes are going. But down to the smallest seed. You think, out there in nature, God, our Heavenly Father, is feeding the birds. To the smallest pigment of color painted on a flower, God clothes the lilies. This is your Heavenly Father. Trust Him to meet your daily needs. Have faith in Him. Christ says, O you of little faith, O you of little faith, in verse 30. Our prayerful petitions and requests that His will be done and His kingdom come express our personal commitment for whatever His will is in our lives. For whatever it be, we must trust Him completely with His fatherly care in our lives. May His will be done. May His kingdom come, not mine. When we trust completely in our Heavenly Father's care for our lives, only then can we say, as the great missionary Henry Martin said, I am immortal until God's work for me is done. My Heavenly Father will meet all my daily needs until His work for me is done. By faith, that statement can be made. Faith that our Heavenly Father rules and He reigns and He meets all my needs, and I'm not going to die until He permits it in His decree. When we see that, then we will see the pointlessness of worry and anxiety and the reasons for trusting everything to our Heavenly Father. It is pointless and a waste to worry. Our Heavenly Father reigns and rules over everything. That is the nature of this world. Christ also teaches us to look at our Heavenly Father's generosity. Point three. Look at our Heavenly Father's generosity. Christ has presented us with arguments of from the lesser to the greater in verses 25 to 30. He has provided us with arguments dealing with utility or pragmatic arguments. Which of you can, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 27. What benefit is to you? There's no benefit. So He's given us pragmatic arguments. He's given us arguments from the lesser to the greater. But may we never lose sight of what is central in Christ's arguments. And that is this, that our Heavenly Father cares for us. That's what's central. He cares for us. You remember that one that one of the falsehoods of the Pharisees was that they thought of themselves in their religion as merely slaving for a cruel master. That's how they viewed God, just a cruel master that they slave for. That was one of the errors of the Pharisees. Like the elder brother of the prodigal son, the Pharisee thought of himself as serving or slaving for God. Luke chapter 15, verse 29. The false idea is that God does not care for us. Many of our worries and anxieties come from that false suspicion. Does he really care? I'm going through health issues. Money is tight. I don't know if I can get through this next challenge, this new job, this new responsibility, this difficulty in my marriage. We can have worry and anxiety, all sorts of earthly things, and say, does God care? Is he just a cruel master in heaven? Many of our anxieties and worries spring from the false notion that all we do is slave for a cruel master. But Christ destroys that lie here in our text. Our Heavenly Father cares for the birds. Our Heavenly Father cares for the lilies of the field. How much more will he care for an adopted child of his? The logic is irrefutable. Let it grip your mind and free you from pursuing what the faithless pagan Gentiles seek. It will free you from what the faithless pagan Gentiles seek. Christ said in verses 31 and 32, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The idea here is that the faithless pagan Gentiles run after these earthly things. They know nothing else worth pursuing in life. To them, earthly things are all that there is and all that there is worth pursuing after. But you and I, we run after the Lord, our Heavenly Father, as the deer pants for the water brooks. So my soul pants for you, O God. Psalm 42, verse 1. You and I as Christians, we pant after and seek after the giver, not the gifts. We seek after the giver, not the gifts. The faithless pagan Gentiles seek only earthly gifts. We trust our Heavenly Father, the giver of every good thing, to meet our daily needs as he ordains them. It takes humility. You look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares. Casting all your cares. Some English translations of the Greek says casting all your anxieties, all your worries upon him. Why? For he cares. But it's a subordinate clause of humbling yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. How do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? How do we show that humility? By casting our worries, our anxieties, our cares upon him. Because he cares. It's expressing our humility to our Heavenly Father. It says, your will be done, not mine. And I'm content in your fatherly care whenever these anxieties and worries arise. I humbly give them to you, for I know that you care for me, my Heavenly Father. Lastly, point four, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Verses 33 and 34. Look at verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Anxiety and worry can never be cured by getting more of what we already have. I want you to really think about that a minute. Ponder it. Anxiety and worry can never be cured by getting more of what we already have. Okay, so your health is so-so. Do you think your anxiety and worry will be cured by getting more health? Your finances are tight. Do you think your anxiety and worry will be cured by getting a little more money? No. That's a false notion. Many of us trust that lie. It is false. Anxiety and worry can only be cured by the assurance that all our needs will be met by our Heavenly Father. That's the only thing that will cure our anxiety and our worry, is the certainty and assurance that our Heavenly Father will meet all our needs. The kingdom of God here, the kingdom of God in verse 33, refers to His direct reign and rule in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first His reign and His rule in your lives. So to destroy the sin of worry, we must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The chief purpose in our lives should be to live under the authority of the King, and to see His kingdom extended in every possible way, morally, socially, geographically, as well as personally, inwardly, and spiritually. He who is our Heavenly Father is King. When our hearts are set on His righteousness and His holiness pervading our lives, we have our priorities in order. And we will discover then two things, okay? We have to have our priorities in order. We must seek first the kingdom of God, His reign and rule, and His righteousness, having holiness in our lives. And then we will discover two things with the right priorities. First, all we need for the days that He has ordained for us, He will provide. He has never failed one of His children. Could today be the day that He takes me home? Could I die in a car wreck going home? Sure. Could I have a heart attack right now? Yes. But He's met my needs for every day that I'm here. He's promised. And He will. For every day that He has ordained for me. Second, we will discover that many of the things we thought we needed, we now discover that we did not really need and we do not want when our priorities are in the right order. At last, in the place of anxiety and worry, we find contentment, satisfaction in God's fatherly disposal of all things to us. As the great Puritan Jeremiah Burroughs said in The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, we will find contentment then if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We'll find satisfaction in Him and how He meets our needs in His way and in His time. We live in days of great worry and uncertainty. People look to civil governments to provide security in every sphere of earthly life. You know, in America, we have what's called social security. But people look to the civil government for economic security, for health security, and the list goes on and on. As Christians, we should not be anxious and troubled. God, who reigns and rules over all things, is our Heavenly Father. We must seek security in Him and Him alone. He Himself is the cure to all our sin of worry. And as we had in one of our verses from Mark chapter 9, Lord, we can say, we believe, help our unbelief. And finally, here in our text, Christ reminds us in verse 34 to take life one day at a time. Look at verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This has been a theme in the Sermon on the Mount. Have you noticed it? Christ taught us to pray for our Heavenly Father to give us our daily bread. To give us our daily bread. Do you know that you will be alive tomorrow? Then why worry about it? Today has enough trouble of its own. Lord willing, we will live and also do this or that tomorrow, as James said in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Lord willing, we will live and also do this or that tomorrow. Engage in business and make a profit, etc. The one thing we know with certainty is this. This is the one thing we know with certainty. God, our Heavenly Father, has promised to supply our daily needs for every day that He has ordained for us to serve Him in our wilderness pilgrimage to our heavenly home. Let us walk by faith. Let us trust Him to meet our daily needs. And let us be convinced in our minds as we walk by faith that our Heavenly Father cares. And He has promised to meet our daily needs. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for each one of us as we battle against the sin of worry, that You would be glorified, that the weight of who You are would overwhelm us, that we would be convinced in our minds the greatness of Your loving care for us as Your adopted children in Christ. May these arguments, both pragmatic, thinking about benefits, and thinking about Your actions, may our minds completely understand and remember how You take care of little birds and feed them with the smallest seeds and paint and clothe the beautiful lilies of the field with the smallest pigments of color and velvety texture. Certainly, You will take care of Your adopted children. Lord, we are in the midst of trial and testing in this world, in our pilgrimage. You have promised to do good to us in the end. You have promised to meet our daily needs along the way. May we not complain of You. Give us the rare jewel of Christian contentment to be satisfied of all that You are for us in Jesus Christ. To be satisfied of the way You have chosen to meet our daily needs. And I pray in the end that we would not worry about death. That we would truly take Your word and Your promise. And O death, where is Your sting? O death, where is Your victory? that in Christ now it is a doorway to glory in heaven. In Christ we are victorious. Help us to rest in you and walk by faith each day. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Please take your hymnal and turn to number 10. How great thou art. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Please stand as we sing. How great thou art.